Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's 5 o'clock on the most listened to sports talk show for your ride home.
Yes, sir.
Time for the Falcons report.
Stop! Big Beasley slams it through the gut to touchdown Atlanta. Julio, touchdown. Oh, my goodness.
The 5 o'clock Falcons report on Dukes and Bell.
We are Dukes and Bell. I would love to start today off like we normally do, happy, jolly, but I just don't feel that way today.
It's kind of a hey, man.
Yeah, I don't feel that way today.
Well, I mean, we're not like we didn't go to the University of Georgia. We go to University of Georgia games. Carl went to what, five games this year?
Yeah, but that's not the point.
But we have a lot of fans that love Georgia and live and die with this team, and we obviously were pulling for them. It's so frustrating to have in a different way. More like the 2012 Falcons letting it slip away in the NFC Championship where you've got a 13-point lead.
Yeah, I'm a vested fan, and we represent you. We talk about this team every day. Every day. Every day. We watch the games. We talk to the coaches. We talk to people in the know. I'm vested. So, yeah, I'm hurting today because it absolutely sucks for our state, for our community, and for the University of Georgia. That's just what it is. So that's how I feel. I know a lot of you feel that way, and I'm not just saying that. If you listen to this show, you know that that's the truth. But, you know, we always talk about these teams in our community and whether you're a fan or not. And it's interesting, Mike, because there are people around the country today who are talking about this game who had no vested interest, who could care less who won last night. But it's an entertaining game. It was fun to watch. But the way it ends, So where are you at today is part of our discussion as we talk about the dogs, but it is time for the Falcon Report, brought to you by our friends at Domino's.
Large three-topping pizza, guys, $7.99. It's carryout only, but it's good every night of the week. And as we often say, yes, booze always satisfies, as does Domino's. So go get yourself some pizza, why don't you, tonight, and drown your sorrow in pepperoni.
With that, let's talk about the Falcons. We're going to get back to the dogs because I know a lot of you are just jumping in and joining the show and saying, hey, man, I want to get in on this dog conversation, and we're going to allow you to do that. Because today has been very therapeutic for both of us. We're frustrated.
Yeah,
we're venting.
That should be our motto this week, Craig. Dukes and Bell, it's cheaper than therapy.
It is. Because we don't cost you anything except, well, a little listening time. And we appreciate that. God, I hope you have a meter. But with that said, we will allow you to vent and continue to, let out your frustrations. But, Mike, we got a big game on Saturday. And we're talking about our Falcons. And speaking of the dogs, I hope that the dogs are back in this position next year. There's a lot of things that have to go right, and we didn't even think, a lot of folks didn't even think that the Falcons would make the playoffs. We were not one of them. Actually, we had this team winning, 10, 11 games. I think we both had 11 games to start the season. Either way, guys, we are back in a spot that the Falcons are familiar with. We go on the road against Philly, 4:35 kick, Mike, and I like our chances.
Yeah, and by the way, right now, the way the weather looks, about 55 degrees and partly cloudy skies, still a slight chance for showers. And again, that'll change. You know how funky the weather is in that part of the country. But the weather should not be as big a factor. It's not like you're going to like 25-degree temperatures and like it was years ago when the Mike Vick Falcons were up there and it was like brutally nasty. But the Nick Foles thing, it makes such a world of difference as trying to defend and as a defense protect against Carson Wentz and all the things he can do, buying time, letting those receivers. I mean, how many times receivers doubled back to help him? Then he also hits guys in perfect stride. He's like better. He's a more accurate version of John Elway the way he looks right now this early in his career.
Well, Wentz is special. And you know, you said you'd still vote for him as the MVP even though he missed those games. And I would agree with you. You know, he was that big of a difference maker. And I pointed this out earlier. The Eagles with Wentz averaged 362 yards and 28.8 points. 29 points a game. Without him, they averaged 258 yards and 17 points. Those are the games that he has not played, and with the injury and whatnot. It's a different team, and I talk about it being a quarterback league all the time, and it is. The Falcons guys currently are eighth in total defense. The Eagles fourth in total defense. The Falcons ninth in total offense. The Eagles seventh in total offense. What's your point, Dukes? These teams are very close statistically when you start to break this down as to where they are. Now, the Eagles might run the ball extremely well. This could be a concern, But you saw what we were able to do to Todd Gurley and company in the Rams in the run game, because that was something I was concerned about. And we went out there and really limited him. Now, you say he had 100 yards, but it was mostly in the fourth quarter, 64 in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, and it was a big chunk of yardage, too. And I just felt, if you look at the flow, there's a flow of the game. That's why when you try to apply the pro football focus stuff to some of the things you see in an NFL game, it doesn't necessarily wash. They stymied Todd Gurley. Todd Gurley had drops in the flat. The Falcons made open field tackles. Great job by guys like Brian Poole. Think about that. Keanu Neal coming up and getting big stops. So you took away what Todd Gurley meant to Sean McVay's offense. And by the time he got on track, it was too late. So, I mean, there's one thing to look at. On the flip side, with the run game with the Eagles, and you and I were talking about this earlier, Philadelphia paper, I think it's the Inquirer, was saying, they look back at the Dolphins game and say, wow, J.H.I. had a monster day against the Falcons.
Well,
is that something Doug Peterson will try to dial up coming up on Saturday?
He did. And this is one of the reasons, when they made that trade, remember we were talking, we were like, we came in the next week and we were both like, boy, Eagles in the playoffs, mm-hmm. two big physical backs.
Right.
If it's cold, if the weather's an issue, you know you're going to commit to the run game. And that's one of the reasons why I think they made that deal. And to take some pressure off, obviously, off of Wentz, who's not there. All right, forget about the Wentz thing. What about the run game? Eagles right now, fourth in the league in yards per play, Mike. And you know, they're averaging a good chunk per play, like mm-hmm. 4.7 or somewhere of that nature. Here's the point I'm making, guys. Every game we go into with the Falcons, we talk about you got to be able to stop the run. Well, this is a game that you're going to have to be able to slow down the run game. If you don't, Foles, it's going to open up things for him. And I'm going to say this. It's a misnomer. Now, I'm not going to discredit Foles and say he can't win this game for the Eagles, because he can. He's not a buster. Foles has won big games for the Eagles prior to him being, you know, let go and then coming back. But I'm simply telling you that I have more belief in what Matt Ryan can do at the quarterback position and the way our defense is playing than I do in Nick Foles being able to overcome all of that. So, you know, I'm giving Foles his respect. I'm not going to tell you he can't win this game. Mm. But I think our guy's better. And if that's the case with the playoff experience, going on the road, I think we have a really good chance to end up in the NFC Championship game. Now, as the week goes on, in the next few days, we're going to talk about what exactly we have to do. But with the Rams, we control the time of possession, Mike. We had 72 plays in that Rams game. That's a record this season for our Falcons. So time of possession, 72 snaps. I don't know if that'll happen Saturday.
If it does, we win that game.
That's exactly right. And that's what I'm getting. The offense did a lot of what they needed to do and what we've been asking.
As we said, guys, one of the bigger stories today was an unscheduled absence from practice from one Matt Ryan. And again, there was not much coming from the Falcons on this. Dan Quinn initially was reported he was going to address it. But Vaughn McClure from ESPN.com says the Falcons said Matt left for personal reasons. And out of respect to Matt and his wife, there will be no further comment. So I know a lot of people are sort of taking that and running with it. We're not going to speculate. But that is why Matt, in a week of preparation for the Eagles, was out today at practice.
All right, guys, want to hear from you. You can find us on social media, Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes. Follow the radio show at Dukes and Bell 929. As we talk about the Falcons, I do want you to hear from Dan Quinn and Snoo Mohammed Sanu talking a little bit about, you know, what went down in the Rams game, but more importantly, moving forward. First, Dan Quinn saying they played well in all three phases. And Mike mentioned this, I think it was Monday when we came back, and he was like, this was a complete game for our team.
We knew for us to be at our best, there couldn't be these except four plays and almost this or two out of three had played well. So when all three phases are really, you know, connected to one another and battling for it, I felt that take place.
So, you know, you didn't make the mistakes. They had, what, a couple of fumbles? Farrell Cooper with a couple of fumbles in that game. I mean, that was a big deal. Sanu made some big catches. What about Mohammed Sanu turning that small gain into a big one last Saturday? I mean, that was a huge play, Mike.
Especially after we were saying, Sanu, do your job, right? Yeah. Catch the ball.
Catch
because
it.
He had a couple of drops and a couple of moments where, remember, Matt, hey, get blank and set. You know, Sanu was, you know, some things. There were some things we're not passing the eye test. So, yeah, big time. And let's see Julio in the red zone again. That's why I feel so good. I mean, I don't want to jinx this. But I do. I'm not looking ahead, Nostradamus. I'm just saying I feel really good about how Sark called the game. Save for once he got in the red zone. Then there was maybe too many throws out there. But Sark said, hey, look, they can't stop the run. Let's run. And then he also found a way to let's go up tempo. It's not like you're going fast, but just going no huddle, which helped get Matt into a rhythm. And then, of course, finding Julio in the red zone as well. Something we've been begging for all season.
Yeah, it was. And, you know, the play to Julio, by the way, I give credit to Matt Ryan. I don't even know how he threw that. Go ahead and spread your legs like that and try to make a throw on target. It was an amazing throw. Here's Snoo.
We just passed the baton to everybody. Everybody was just out there doing their job. Special teams out there making plays. Defense out there making plays. It was only right for us to go out there and do the same.
Well, you did that. I'm hoping we can do that on Saturday. And just, would you do what? What would you do differently in trying to attack the Eagles? Because you said this. Now it's a different team, but one of the things we realized was their physicality. Was it a year ago, Mike? That happened? Yeah, it was a year ago.
It was November. We went up to Philly, and that's a game where up until late it was a one possession game. Remember that was the one. Was it Taylor Gabriel had the big catch down the field?
I believe
it was like
it
a
was.
Bomb from Matt Ryan.
Yeah,
but that's a game where we really could not get Devontae Freeman on track. I think Coleman didn't have anything. I think Freeman only had like 40 yards and change.
Yep.
So Shanahan quickly pivoted to the throwing game, but the Eagles really got after us. We were kind of like, wow, that's a physical team we wouldn't want to play. So how much of that is different now? They've had some injuries on both sides of the ball since then. But I just think we've got some confidence and some swagger because we also got the experience. This is a young team that hadn't been where we've been.
I agree. The reason why we bring that up is because, you know, Dan Quinn and company are looking at that game, trying to figure out some things that they did and may try to do to us again on Saturday.
Yeah, painfully I did, for sure. And I guess when I came back through it, watching it, you know, we didn't get to show them the best version of ourselves. And I thought they played, you know, a fantastic game that afternoon in Philadelphia. We were season lows in a number of areas, including the run game. So we didn't just, you know, play our typical style of attacking and being like we wanted to. And same thing on the defensive side. So, but we definitely went back to look at it in terms of how we want to feature the guys. And I thought that was a starting point, at least for me, as we got the preparation started. But we've got to make sure, you know, that style of game is not indicative to how we like to play.
Night and day on the defense. Like our defense is worlds better than it was back then, even on the way to the Super Bowl in that game against Philly last year.
Yeah, it really was. It is Dukes and Bell, man. Again, Falcon Report, as we talk about the Falcons. We'll get back to the Dogs. I know a lot of you want to talk about last night's game, and we're going to give you an opportunity to do that at 404-741-0929. Just kind of letting go. Let go. Vince, hey, we want to give you a chance right now, though, to win. And you're going, win? Yes. This hour's code word, which I'm about to give you, for a chance to send you to the night before with the Dave Matthews Band in Minneapolis. And then you're going to text the code word I'm going to send you or give you to 72881. That's 72881. If you want to enter, you can do it online at intercomcontest.com. The code word this hour is kicker.
Kicker.
K-I-C-K-E-R. Kicker, text that to 72881 right now for your chance to win. Message and data rates may apply. Again, this is an opportunity to send you to the night before with the Dave Matthews Band in Minneapolis talking about Super Bowl week.
Pack your mittens. Use it in a sentence. Papa Nastos is not a great kicker, but he does have a championship ring.
That is
or
true.
Or he will get one.
That is today's code word, guys. We'll do it all week, so make sure you stay tuned for your opportunity to potentially win.
Yeah, man, the Falcons and the Eagles, I'm always, what am I, Mr. Nervous Nelly. But I was feeling good. I was positive about the Rams. I thought we'd beat the Rams.
I was nervous.
And now I'm
I was nervous.
And now, by the way, I'm going to start a GoFundMe page for bail money for going up to Philly. So I'm in section 124 for any Falcon fans that are making the trip. And if you are going up, to hit me up on Twitter and we can all drink some beers before the game.
A lot of people looking at the odds and going, whoa, Falcons favorite. Eagles will use that all week.
Eagles will have a
chip on their shoulder to be at home, to be a higher seed in these playoffs, and to have the Falcons come as the wild card team and be favored. Guys will try to use that as an edge. Guys, it don't matter. I don't care about that. And I didn't care about us being an underdog against the Rams.
Yeah, you want a stat? I'm not a big stat guy. You want a stat?
Give it to me.
I'll give you a stat. 5 of Foles' 27 third down pass attempts since coming in for Carson Wentz have resulted in first downs. Just 5 of 27 throws on third down.
So that means they don't move the chains. All right, man. Coming up, more of your phone calls. Dog fans, where you at today? How you feeling? And if you're going, you know how I feel. No, I don't. Call 404-741-0929. What happened to Georgia? It's the question of the day. And it can easily be summed up with the insertion of the freshman, Tagovailoa. And he comes into the game, throws for 166, 3 touchdowns in the second half after the Dogs have Alabama down 13-0. It changed the dynamic of the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't want to make excuses for the Dogs. They're playing well enough to win this game. And, again, you're up 13 points, then you're up 10 with 10 minutes remaining in this football game. With that said, guys, where you at today? And we came in today, and I said to start the show today that this, to me, is the second most disappointing day in Atlanta sports history. Simply because it's so close to what we just experienced last year with our Falcons. And I'm over that
right.
Because I see this team and how they've responded, and they've got a shot on Saturday. But with the proximity of how soon this has happened now with Georgia and Mike, Mike and I are texting back and forth last night. You know, and again, if you had access to that, you'd be laughing your butt off. But Mike saying to me last night, dude, it doesn't feel right. It's eerily similar. Mm-hmm. I feel like they might give up this lead, and I'm trying to. No, Mike, don't worry about it. They're gonna give the ball to Sony. They're gonna run, and they didn't. And we're going back and forth, and I'm like, damn it, it does start to feel this way in the fourth quarter. Mm. And guys, we are as frustrated as you are, but what happened, Mike? What happened?
Well, I mean, first things first, and I've been going round and round on Twitter and on our text line here, which is brought to you by our buddies at Salmon Brothers, 404-741-0929. He's put them up. See Dukes, I'm Mike Bell, ATL. Guys cannot get past the block punt. And now it's about the refs. We talked about the Mack Wilson shove. Remember, he pushes Fromm's head,
yep.
Slaps him. We talked a lot about the face mask that was not called. Look, the Big Ten officials were terrible. No one denies that. But it's just like the Falcons game against the Saints. You had enough opportunities, Georgia, to win the game. And, I mean, I just can't make this. We can't go 12 months of blaming the refs for this until Georgia hopefully is back in this position. You've got to make plays. Fromm missed on a bunch of throws. Jim Chaney didn't utilize Sony Michel in crucial times. You couldn't get Tua Tagovailoa on the ground on that 3rd and 7, which was a major that scramble for the first down jump-started Alabama.
It did. Mike, to me, it was – and if you go, well, what about the touchdown in the overtime? That was just momentum. To me, the game-changing play is the freshman comes in and you got him. Wrap up. You've got him. They're about to punt the ball to you, and all of a sudden, first down, and you felt the energy from Alabama go whoop. Because they had no hope in the first half. Let's be honest. They're getting their ass kicked. Georgia's in their grill. Physically, they are handling them. The Dogs held them to 94 yards, 5 possessions with Jalen Hurts, who went 3 for 8 in 21 yards. They're handling them Alabama's way. So you're going in half, and you're like, dude, they're looking at each other like, man, we usually out-physical people. We usually push people around. These guys are on us. So they needed some hope, and Mike, that scramble to me was what they needed, and then it just escalated. The kid gained more and more confidence, and yes, he threw an interception, but when he came off, you guys saw it, Nick Saban's in his grill at midfield,
right.
You know, getting after him, and the kid realized, okay, yeah, I shouldn't have thrown that. Everybody was blocking. I saw that.
No one's actually, there's no receiver to throw it to.
And he comes back, and he was cool, calm, and got the job done.
But here's the thing, Carl. Let me try it again. Tua Tagovailoa, when he throws that pick to nobody because there was nobody really looking for the ball, what does Georgia do? Jake Fromm, because Alabama's forcing the issue with his moving up front, you really don't have the pocket, you get a ricochet interception. So Georgia goes right. You gave the ball right. You got a gift, and you give it right back to him. They return it to the 40. And the same thing, guys, on the block kick. If it's correctly called, it's a dead ball false start. And then Alabama's – by the way, Georgia got the ball back anyway and went 3 and out. So, I mean, you got to be in the time-space continuum and tell me that Georgia's going to score a field goal. Okay, get money, because Rodrigo on the other side of the 50. So I'll give you that, 3 points. And they made that harder for Alabama. That's the bare minimum. But as a fan, and we've seen this just a couple weeks ago with the Saints down in the Superdome, you've got to make plays when you got the opportunity. Bama just made more plays in the fourth quarter.
They did. I did not like how the Dogs, and it felt like we got a little bit conservative in the fourth quarter. We didn't do jack in the fourth quarter. I mean, we just didn't. And, you know, I felt like Chaney, who to start the game, I love the game plan. Mike, we all guessed and assumed, but we said, spread him out. Loosen him up. He did. And if the Dog receivers catch some of those extra balls that were missed in the first half, guys, you could talk about the block punt, but they could have scored in the first quarter if some of those balls are caught. Either way, I thought, you know, with Fromm, he threw the ball 30-some-odd times last night. In the fourth quarter, you were not that aggressive with him. And it was almost like, we need to preserve this lead. Okay, I'm fine with that. But the wrong tool for the job.
Right. And the other thing, guys, we talked a lot today about, you know, the officials, and we talked about, you know, the things that didn't go Georgia's way. Well, how about, you know, Mel Tucker, Malcolm Parrish is getting toasted. They're going after him. Give him some help, you know, and a true freshman, and this has been the storyline all day, he basically looks Dominic Sanders. You and I have talked about this a dozen times today, Carl.
Yeah.
He looks Dominic Sanders one step or two steps over to his left, and there's no time to recover. And it's one of the craziest game, you know, walk-off game-winning touchdowns you've ever seen. But before that, it wasn't like Malcolm Parrish was actually doing the job.
Parrish should have jammed the receiver and given his safety initial time. It sounds silly, but guys, we're talking about lightning right now. That's how fast that play happens. Mm-hmm. Receivers, whoop, gone past the corner, and now all of a sudden, look right, look left, ball's in the air. I mean, that's how fast it happens. And that split second was the difference in the safety getting over there for help. They were in cover two. And by the way, Tagovailoa said, hey, they tried to disguise their cover two. I saw it, and that's why I looked the safety off. I mean, did you hear this kid? He was like, I saw exactly what they were trying to do. Problem was, they didn't jam that receiver. The freshman, who's the wide receiver, the freshman that caught the touchdown, Mike?
That's is it Devontae Smith, Arthur?
Smith.
Yeah. A guy who caught one catch against Clemson for 4 yards. It's just, it's amazing how Saban has that kind of depth. You plug in, was it, who am I forgetting? I'm going brain dead on the number, 22. So Najee Harris?
Najee Harris.
And how about that? I mean, they throw him in there, and all of a sudden, it's not about Bo Scarborough or Damian. It's this guy is now moving the pile. So a couple of things. You got to be clutch. You got to be able to see it through. And despite the fact that the refs, yes, they had some screw-ups, how many Alabama fans would have thought Mecole Hardman was out of bounds with his heel?
Well, a lot of people talked about that.
I think in the NFL, we've seen enough NFL games where you're not getting that call. So, I mean, I do think I just think if you start making it all about the guys in the black and white stripes, even if they are as bad as they were the other night in the NFL game for the Falcons or this week against Carolina and the Saints, you still have to make plays. Alabama made more plays in the fourth quarter.
You got to be able to overcome it. And unfortunately, for all the good that this season was, and it was amazing, it was a great run. It was an incredible season. It's one for the ages. But they didn't finish the way they wanted. And, you know, now Kirby has to move forward and deal with that. And we commend the senior class and the guys that came back. And but Georgia blew this. We had a chance. It's that simple. Let's not point the finger at things that we want to make excuses for when that is not the case. And I would ask you this question. Overtime, right? You get a new life.
Right.
The kid misses field goal to win the game. It's missed.
Yeah, I mean, you're dead in the water right there.
And you're going nuts. Because
you should have the momentum. You should have the momentum.
We got another shot. You get the ball back. You had opportunities, and we had opportunities to get it done. We didn't get it done.
And we love Nick Chubb. And Chubb and Sony, like, it's been well-documented. Georgia fans know the story of these guys and the fact they stuck around. But Sony needed to be on the field for all three plays in that overtime.
Yes.
You got him out there on the third and long. That's the one where it gets blowed up and it creates the long field goal. But on a third and 20, Sony Michel's able to take it down the sideline and move the chains. I don't know why Chaney, for whatever reason, didn't have number one on the field when it mattered most. That's my overlying number one beef with this game from a Georgia standpoint.
All right, now, dog fans, where are you at? I want to talk to you. 404-741-0929. Nathan, you've been holding on patiently. What's up, man? You're in the game. Hey, man, how you doing?
Hey, man, how y'all doing?
We're all right.
Man, if I'm trying to let it go. If I'm a little hoarse, man, I was screaming at the Alabama sideline the whole time last night.
So. I hear you.
But anyways, man, long time listener, love y'all's show.
Appreciate you.
I'd say a few things, man. I was mad at the refs this morning still.
Yeah.
That's getting easier every hour as it goes. both sides, man. Fromm missed some big throws. Alabama missed some throws that they should have got a touchdown or two on. That were overthrown. I think Michelle should have been in the game every play, absolutely. And you got to cover the deep ball in overtime.
Yes. Don't let anybody get behind you. I mean that's the, Nathan, yeah, it's cliche, right?
So that's pretty much my thing, man. And it's almost as eerie. We should have went into the half at 21-0 of that game. It's the same story we ran into in 2011 in the SEC championship against the Honey Badger. Mm. And it felt the same exact
good point.
Way. Going into half, we should have been up a lot more, and we didn't continue to go. So,
yeah,
and I don't understand. It felt a little Bobo-ish, man. I know y'all like him, and I liked him too. He was great, but the running back to back, Chubb up the middle, just wasn't working.
Well, as Carl talked about, who was it? Galliard who was getting
the center?
Yeah, it was getting having
Lamont.
Was having a tough day. It's just, I do think that Sony just was more proved able, even when Alabama was stopping the holes, was able to push that pile a little bit more. He was just having a better day than Chubb was.
Yeah.
So go with that. It's kind of like when we get into that conversation of Devontae versus Coleman and who's got the hot hand. Well, one guy was on the cusp of 100 yards rushing, and the other guy was not. But for some reason, whatever it was, Chaney thought that Chubb was the way to go. Other thing, one thing we didn't really come back to bite you necessarily. the Bryce Ramsey, whatever that was Mark. That wasn't Bobo. That was Mark Richt.
Like, looked like a fake punt. Oh, we're not going to fake it. I'm going to pooch kick it, but I could have kicked it and pinned him in the 5-yard line
because he's a quarterback. See if there's something there. I just didn't like that. Now, at the end of the day, that one didn't really produce much for it because they wound up punting later anyway. But that was kind of curious. And then we talked about it. Malcolm Parrish struggled at times. They kind of started picking at him. How about the throw, by the way, that ties the game on 4th and 4? And you got a freshman threading the needle. I mean, when you saw the replay on ESPN amazing. Last night, it's like, amazing. How does that ball even get in there?
Yeah. You know, there are questions that Alabama's going to have to answer, but they're good questions. Like, who's our quarterback? But there are things to look forward to for the Dogs as well, guys. Nathan, great
still
call.
An unbelievable season, guys. You know what? Think of the Falcons season as just ending when Robert Alford had the pick six. Think of that amazing run to the Rose Bowl. Think about the memories for Georgia fans that were lucky enough to be out there at the Rose Bowl. It's hopefully just the first step in a huge bunch of building blocks for Kirby to do what Alabama is right now.
No, it's special. Hey, appreciate you guys. We'll come back. We'll get some more of your thoughts. Mike Conte's going to join us. Coming up at 6, we'll grab more of your phone calls, man, because I know a lot of you guys want to vent. We've been doing it all day. It's therapy.
Time now for In Case You Missed It with Mike Conte.
Have I got good news for you?
Right here on Dukes and Bell.
All right, it is time for our man Mike Conte. I know, Dog fans, you are still there on hold, and we will get to your phone calls coming up. Stay right there. If you want to chime in, I know you want to vent, and we will give you that opportunity. Mike Conte, what is happening in your world?
There's a Dog fan who vented big time at the end of the game last night. You know what the thing is now with the millennials is the guys who are watching football games and you have someone filming them as they react to what happens.
Right.
All right, well, that happened last night. I just retweeted this, at Mike Conte 929. This is one of those cases where I'm going to do my best to describe what happens and play you the audio, but for the full experience, you really need to look at the tweet, the video that I just posted. It's only 10 seconds long. Not unsafe for the kids or anything like that, but picture this. He has to be a Georgia fan. Looks like he's sitting in his basement. He has decorated his wall with beer cases. You know the people who, like, cut up beer cases so they have the beer logos on their wall? And he's watching the final play, and we all know what happened, of course. It was the long touchdown. And
so, oh my God.
Well, here's what happened, okay? He's watching the final play on hold. Here's what he is doing. Now, he's not firing off fireworks or, you know.
He got his foot stuck in his door. I guess
is that
his bathroom door?
That's literally him busting down some kind of door, kicking the door, finding that he was able to create a hole in it, and then treating it like it's the speed bag at the gym.
He went in on that door.
Yeah, he went in on that door and punched a bunch of holes in it.
And the video is priceless.
Punches it.
He's going to work on that door, Mike Conte.
The guy is living in some kind of hovel that's decorated with beer cases and, you know, floor lamps and things
Young man, maybe you're just making his way out of college.
Can I?
Or not.
I want to ask you guys this because, you know, I've been fortunate to be around this business a long time. Covered a lot of great games. Seen a lot of great endings. I was in shock last night. When he throws a touchdown, I had to sit there for about a minute and kind of digest, okay, he just did it? I'll be honest with you. Then after that, I kind of, okay, you know, we've seen some craziness happen, but I didn't even have that kind of energy.
Well,
you know what I mean?
As you know, Carl, you were not the only one in shock.
Throwing it down the far sideline, and it is caught!
How did you react, Mike Conte? Where were you? Were you here? Where were you at?
I was here. I was doing the Hawks game. And by the way, shout out to Oren Romain, who is a huge, huge Dawgs fan and was here co-producing the Hawks game with Jahi Whitehead last night.
Jahi!
Oren doing an incredibly professional job of keeping the broadcast on the air as all of this is going on. I thought Oren wanted to cry. It felt awful for him. I have to be honest. When they got the sack on first down, I thought the game was over.
Mm-hmm. The Dawgs.
The Dawgs.
Yes.
And I thought Georgia had won on the first down sack because there's no way they're going to get 26 yards in 2 plays.
And now you're thinking another top of level stick.
Their kicker is a head case, apparently. He's not going to make a kick. I thought Georgia had won the national championship on that sack.
Yeah.
Man, oh, man.
Mike, how did you react, Mike?
Well, actually, that's going to be our game winner tonight. What got broken either after the Super Bowl or last night's national championship in your home, based on that video Mike just played us with that guy?
Yeah.
No, I just, Becky, I hit the coffee table and I got the look from the wife because it's glass and stuff. So she gave me the look.
You didn't break it, did you?
No, but she gave me the look.
Okay.
I actually did that. I had a home Hawks game during the fourth quarter of the Fiesta Bowl when Penn State was trying very hard to blow it against Washington. They ended up winning, but they gave up a really long touchdown to Washington. You know where we sit at Phillips Arena.
Right.
And Penn State gives up the really long touchdown. I pound the desk.
Boom.
Pound it. And I guess I pounded it a lot harder than I typically pound death because, like, press row erupted in this concern. Like, what is wrong with
Mike,
this?
Let's be honest. Now, Mike, you guys love Mike Conti. You text in, and we always hear people love this segment. Mike is a guy that is always above board. He always keeps, I think, his emotions in check, Carl. We don't really.
Well, that's why I'm asking.
We don't associate an outburst with one Mike Conti.
Well, Steve Holman was horrified. The scorekeeper who sits next to me, I thought was going to call security. I mean, just pounded the desk, but it happens. I used to really get angry.
Yeah.
Really get angry watching, and really the sport that got to me was ice hockey. Professional, like watching the Philadelphia Flyers. Man, I would get so angry. And then, I don't know if I just grew up or started drinking more during games or what, but I've been a lot more
calm,
even keel and calm. I feel heartsick, heartsick for Georgia fans today because it's been so long since you've had that chance. 35 years since you've had that chance. The last time they had that chance, they lost to Penn State.
In a very similar fashion.
Well, that's the craziest thing. Because it was almost the same play. And you longtime dog fans know it. Todd Blackledge to Greg Garrity going from left to right, left side of the end zone.
Same
a
spot.
A bomb. The only difference is Garrity had to die for that.
Right.
And last night it was more of a catch and stride. But... oh, my God. And I know the pain will wear off, and in a couple months it'll probably be okay, but...
it's tough. Whew. It hurts, man.
That is tough.
It is. What else you got, Mike Conti, in case you missed it?
All right. You know, LeVar Ball dealing with the F rating that the Better Business Bureau gave Big Baller Brand. You hear about this?
No. Okay. No.
You know, the Better Business Bureau, if you have a bad time with a plumber, an electrician, or something like that, you call them, and they'll basically give your plumber a demerit, and then... you know, you can go research the ratings, and obviously you don't want to hire a shoddy contractor. Well, people have called in complaints to Big Baller Brand, to the Better Business Bureau. Apparently, some people are claiming that they ordered shoes or flip-flops or Big Baller gear and never got it.
Ooh.
But their cards were still charged. So, LeVar Ball called his personal hype man, ESPN's Darren Rovell, and made the following statement.
It's personal, by the way.
By the way...
uh-oh.
Was anyone at the game last night and saw Rovell there? Because it sure looked like he was there on the field taking pictures. And the priceless tweet he had was, I can't believe this. It's only the first quarter and everyone is standing. I can't believe it. Have you ever been to a college football game in the South before?
Mike, real quick, full disclosure, Mike cannot stand Darren Rovell.
No,
but I mean,
but
that was an idiotic tweet.
Idiotic.
Well, I mean, again, wasn't he make his bones in financial reporting?
He did.
All right, and now he works on the sports side of it, working the business of sports. Maybe he's just a toolbox.
Are you sure he wasn't checking out a Chick-fil-A?
Well, yeah, and that's the thing that really has me on the Rovell bashing is because he's perpetuated this lazy storyline for months that the Falcons foolishly put a Chick-fil-A in their own stadium, even though it will be closed on Sunday, not really keeping in mind that the stadium is open on other days of the week, including, as Arthur said, yesterday, and yes, Chick-fil-A was open.
Many, many more dates than the football games that the Falcons play.
Correct.
Yes.
You know, there's a pro soccer team that plays in there, too, and they have concerts. And other, anyhow.
Right.
So this is what...
it grinds your gears.
It really does grind my gears, Mike. It burns my brownies.
I hadn't heard that in a long time.
Yeah.
No, nobody can get more G-rated as he gets angry than one Mike Conti.
That burns my brownies.
I can't take credit for that one. Someone else had that one. Anyhow, so LeVar... oh, we're out of time. LeVar Ball told Darren Rovell, Better Business Bureau is outdated as the Yellow Pages. Who cares about them? Tell them that Yelp has replaced the Better Business Bureau. We honestly thought the Better Business Bureau was out of business. The new BBB stands for...
Big Baller Brand.
Stay in your lane.
Clown show. It just is.
You know, the youngest kid would probably not even make it in the G League. Now it's
were you watching this game from Lithuania today?
I saw, tweeted
by ESPN live stream. ESPN's front page now has a whole Ball family section. So like
for what?
I think they're clapping back at Rick Carlisle for that whole, we're going to withdraw their credentials for covering the
ball.
Yeah,
for those who don't realize, Carlisle said, ESPN, you're out of your mind if you're going to take LeVar Ball's word over guys inside that locker room about Luke Walton losing the Lakers.
Incredible. Hey, Conti, thanks so much as always, man. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right.
That's In Case You Missed It with Mike Conti. We'll come back, guys. You know what the top story is. Come on. And we'll talk to you about it coming up on Dukes and Bell.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.